our grandparents. Let's take a few minutes to pray, if we can, as we can. And we do want honor. I know that sometimes it's hard to stand up for elders, so if you don't want to stand up, that's fine. But for our elders, can you stand up for just a few minutes as we just recognize and let us continue just to extend our hands towards our elders and our seniors as we pray for them. Lord gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, and as your word says to pray, extend our hands in faith that you will heal us, not only physically, emotionally, mentally, but most importantly, spiritually. Thank you for those who have pioneered, paved the way for us to see your glory. To our grandparents, honor, respect, much grace, because you have graced them first. Wonderful name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. We are in a series in the book of John, so you can open up your Bible to John chapter 14. We're also going to look in John chapter 15. It'll take a few minutes to look at that or open to that portion. Titled is The Work of the Holy Spirit, Comforter, Helper, but I actually changed it. It says that on the liturgy, but I changed it to the third person. Kind of get a broader perspective of what's going on. So please forgive me if it says something different than what the liturgy says. Third person of the Trinity, John chapter 14, John chapter 15, verse. As we look at the book of John, we see that the book of John has a couple different segues or different categorizing ways to look at things. And I said before, the first half is Jesus Christ's public ministry, talking about the people outside of his core group to believe. The second half, chapter 13 through chapter 17, we see that Jesus Christ takes a small group of people, his disciples and a few of these others, to teach them a small ministry, and again, he's also talking to them about believing. John chapter 14, John 15, and 16 actually are unique chapters in that Jesus Christ talks about God the Father, himself, God the Son, and then he relates that to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, even within the church, well, we ourselves, not God, we tend to have a misunderstanding or a wedge between ourselves, if you may. But really, you'll hear at the very end here that the Holy Spirit will never contradict Jesus. As we see this, a great man of God, D.L. Moody, gave a great example. And, of course, I wasn't there, but I read what he took a glass cup. He asked the congregation, he asked the people, the hearers, how do I remove the air from this particular glass? This is not a Pyrex glass. It's a regular glass I got from the kitchen this morning. How do you remove the air from it? You can't blow it out. And somebody stood up, of course, probably an engineer or scientist, and said, you know what? You can put a vacuum on that and suck the air out, right? It's a wonderful way to do that. But again, I mentioned to you, it's not a Pyrex glass. You Belgian people know that Pyrex glass here. What will happen is it will break glass, remove the air. So, of course, what he did is come around. Water. Poured the water in there to remove the air. As a result, he had an opportunity to remove the air without blowing into it or using a vacuum. Now, here's what he wrote after that, which is quite unique. D.L. Moody, of course, there in Chicago and Illinois. He wrote something to the effect, after he was done writing this, he explained the victory. He says, he then went on to explain that victory in Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out sin here or there, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit. This chapter doesn't talk about being filled. How do I be filled with the Holy Spirit? This is just a broad perspective of acknowledging who the Holy Spirit is. In John, you see the Holy Spirit being mentioned as much as you see 98 times in believing in Jesus. He mentions also the Spirit. The Spirit hovered over Jesus when John the Baptist baptized. You hear Jesus referring to worship me in spirit and truth. Just throughout the Bible, of the book of John, compared to the other Gospels, the Holy Spirit seems to be pretty significant. And in this chapter, John chapter 14, what you hear is Jesus actually promoting. It's the only time, as many times I read the Bible, it's the only time I hear God really promoting the Holy Spirit. This is it. So it doesn't signify that, well, since there's only one chapter or two chapters or three chapters, there's small significance of it, then therefore the Holy Spirit is not, should not be addressed. There's an absolute, imperative, if you may, significance of the Holy Spirit. It's mostly unknown. It's not preached upon very much. We know God the Father, check. We know God the Son, Jesus Christ, check. When we ask people about God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, it seems to be a little bit unknown. So let's read John chapter 14. Here Jesus is speaking. We preached last week where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father through me. Most of us know that verse. But let's take the whole passage and try to hear what they're asking. The primary perspective that you hear is from Thomas. Remember Thomas? Thomas is who we call and refer to him as the doubter. He's one of the disciples. There's no question that he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. But his primary question is in verse 8, if you look in there. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. He's basically saying, look, for 4,000 years we know Yahweh. We know Jehovah. We know Elohim. We know God the Father. We don't really, at this point in time, they don't really know who Jesus really, really is. Because the next day, he's going to be in the process of dying on the cross and being crucified, dead and buried, and risen and ascending into heaven. So they're kind of figuring out, look, I know who God the Father is for 4,000 years, but you're kind of confusing me who you are, Jesus. Then after Jesus dies on the cross, for 300 to 700 years, the church has a very difficult time in deciphering who God is in comparison to Jesus, let alone talking about the Holy Spirit. Remember, we'll hear in just a minute, the Holy Spirit never contradicts and may contradict you. I may contradict Jesus. I may contradict the Holy Spirit because I'm a fallen man. But if you read the Word, if that's what we're going to do, if you read what's going on here, you'll see that he doesn't contradict Jesus. And they're still trying to figure out who are you, Jesus? I just want to know who the Father is. But he's about to say, you are looking at me. Father and I are one. So let's read that if we could. Starting with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, but I have not told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. If you go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, you don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me of anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, or another, whatever version you have, another comforter, or another helper, to help you be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, that is. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you. He'll be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not come to you. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also stop. as we see this passage, there's a dialogue here. Again, the primary pivotal perspective, they just want to see God the Father. Jesus saying, you are hard looking. But I have to go tomorrow because I must die for your sins. Therefore, I'm going to send you another advocate, another helper, another friend. His name. The purpose of this and the objective I wanted to show here, corporate, nothing in particular. There's so many different things to talk about. But just expositing this passage, maybe systematically going through other verses as well. Let me just shed some light, if we may, who the third person of the Trinity is, the Holy Spirit. Paul Noble sees that the Holy Spirit is God. As God, He is God. The Holy Spirit is as a He, not as a me. The work of the Holy Spirit, we'll look at that. That's where you kind of systematically have to go through other passages. We'll specifically stay in John 14 and John 15. Just show some specific stuff. Of course, lead to the last part, which is the Holy Spirit will not contradict. That's one of the works that we do. Bear witness. Give you comfort. Give you help. Give you guide. You'll see much. The Holy Spirit as God. Now, this is one of the most difficult things the church will deal with, fortunately, and hopefully maybe young people turn away from this. But I know a lot of people who've grown up in church, my contemporaries, 4 years, have gotten so confused about God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They've gone to other religions. This one's easier. I don't really grasp what you grasp. And I'll tell them, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, look, I don't fully understand God 100%. I am not God, so there's no way I can understand. But there is a Trinitarian perspective that we have. God the Father, God the Son, God who He is. That's called the Trinity. But it's so much debate, so much difficulty with this that we tend to push away from it. But that's called the Trinity. I think we know God the Father. We hear His name as Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, the I Am. Through that, even Jesus mentions Himself as the I Am. God the Son, we know this through Jesus Christ. Throughout the whole New Testament, we're very familiar with the song, the song. Praise the Lord. God the Holy, God the Holy. Look at this, and of course, not part of it. Three persons. Perspective of persons. This is where you have to take your mindset out. Your rationale. This is one of the most hardest parts about this. You got to take my rationale. All of our rationale said there are three persons in one substance. How that works? So difficult for me. But that's what we see throughout the Bible. You can even look in the very first verse of the Bible, which is Genesis. In the beginning, talking about the heavens and the earth, the Spirit hovered over the water. I'm not really sure exactly how to fully say, look, I know Him. But if we can grasp a syllogism, here's a syllogism they're probably familiar with. Try to rationalize. God is Jesus. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit must be God. So this doesn't have to be. That's a rationale that we're using. But what I'll be trying to do is, you have to look at, is Jesus God? Absolutely, 100%. God is Jesus. You see this in many different chapters. John chapter 1, we mentioned this before. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. His name was Jesus Christ. So the Word, or Jesus Christ, is God. You see this in John chapter 8, where Jesus is talking to the teachers of the law, and they ask Him, you know, you're not that old. You can't be as old as Abraham. So that's almost 2,000 years ago. He says, before Abraham, I was, or I am. Well, He says, Yahweh. So you just said Yahweh? No one says Yahweh. We say Yahweh now, but the Jews never said that word. They were never to pronunciate YHWH, which they just didn't use vowels, they just used the consonants. And they just said, wait, throw the stones at Him, because He said, you're claiming to be God. Read what it says here in John chapter 10 with me, if you can. It's up here, and I have it up here. I am the Father. I and the Father are one. Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone Him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? They get angry, of course. And we are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but you for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. he's claiming to be God, not like God, not just the Son of God, because he's saying Son of God means he comes from God. He's claiming to be God. Many verses, many passages, and a lot of different people may disagree in the Christian realm that Jesus is not God. I tell you, I believe Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is God. That's part of the first syllogism you have here. If Jesus is God, then you can turn back if you could on that slide, on that syllogism. Now we have Jesus is God, God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Where do we see that Jesus is the Holy Spirit? This is where we come into John chapter 14, which we just read, when we use the word another. Another advocate, another help. Here we go, okay, Philip is saying, or is it Thomas, I'm sorry, Thomas is like, I don't know. We just want to see God. We want to see God the Father. He said, you're looking right at him. But he doesn't stop there. He says, let me tell you something else. We'll talk to the Father, and I'm going to send another. I'll send another advocate. He's here today. There's a great significance. Yes. He's here today. As we look in John chapter 14, verse 16, at this, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Spirit of truth. That word another in Greek is either, you see up here, allos, heteros. And of course, allos is another of the same sort, or heteros, another of a different sort. I've used this example before. And if not that I'm up here, just pretend it doesn't. I've got a nice Gatorade. It's not about the Gatorade, it's that I'm thirstier. This is a Powerade. I'm so thirsty, I'm so thirsty, I'm dying. I get Ryan Morinaga. I can see him back. I'm picking on him. I said, look, give me another one. So thirsty. He comes back. Gives me another, but he gives me Gatorade. And it's red. I said, that's the heteros. I want the allos. I want the same, another one that's exactly the same. I want the Powerade. The zero calories. I don't know why you want zero calories in the desert. You need calories. It's the only thing I found in the fridge. But as we look at here, we see that they're the same. We know that Jesus is the same as that of the Holy Spirit. This is the only time in the Bible you hear Jesus promoting the Holy Spirit. There are tons of places the Holy Spirit has given much works to. You see his characteristics, but we don't speak much of him because he's quite confusing, as a matter of fact. There's only a few chapters designated, chapter 14, 15, and 16, designated to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus is the Holy Spirit and Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And remember, the Holy Spirit resides within you because I, the temple of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit who resides in you. Have the Holy Spirit in you. Have God in you. You work with the flesh. You work with your soul. And that's corrupt. But there's something within you that's absolutely powerful. So I think that syllogism would basically tell you that if God is Jesus, Jesus is the Holy Spirit, therefore the Holy Spirit is God, you're dealing with God. Absolutely powerful. Because one of the things that we're working on, one of the things that we deal with, is the problems of life. We do our best to try to rule the air ourselves. When it says passively in Galatians, the only thing that he's going to do is he's going to fill you. He already filled you. Problem is, we're having difficulty because I don't get it. And I might have a couple granules of candy or something in there. There's something in our lives still. Dale Moody says some great stuff about that in this great illustration. But he's saying that it's a passive thing, that the Holy Spirit will fill you. He's already filled you. You accept the Christ. He's in you. That's difficult. Because we don't have a dialogue with him that we're rationalizing. Very different. The Holy Spirit, so therefore, the Holy Spirit is God. That's the only point I'm talking about. Second point we have here is the Holy Spirit as a he and not he. So, and it. The Holy Spirit is God. You got that. Alright, is the Holy Spirit as a he and not an it? You have difficulty with it. I've had difficulty in my life with this. But remember, the Holy Spirit is always going to not contradict Jesus, but bring it back. But the Holy Spirit is a He, not an it. It says this as we read throughout this passage. We come back and we read in John chapter 14, verses 17. It says, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives in you. God is in you. God's in you. Except to Christ Jesus. God's in you. God's in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. The problem is we don't have a great dialogue with Him very well. You can't just grab the water and put it in. You can't just grab the Holy Spirit and say, just give it to me. It's a passive thing. But somehow, how He does this filling, that's a whole different thing. You can't say, oh, this is how it works. We should speak to the Holy Spirit as God, not as a power. Hard part about it. We are trained, as we hear in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way they should go. When they go, they will not turn from it. Just assuming, I have something to write. Most of our assumptions, right or wrong, I hear this. Much of us, as we've grown up, probably from evangelists in the Philippines, or Baptist background, or whatever background they came from, taught us about God the Father, God the Son. But not a lot about God the Holy Spirit. Growing up, I never said, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Now there's an invocation that we do at church. It's called a liturgy. In the 14th century, about 1200 years to 12th, 14th century, you hear this liturgy, which means you hear how we do church. And one of them is a benediction at the end, and the other one is an invocation. It comes from a French and Latin word to invoke. And when you invoke, you're calling upon. So then, therefore, we start to call upon the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit to call upon from the outside, He's already in here. We're really calling from within here. Now that sounds confusing. But here's my point when we talk about this. We need to refer to Him as a He. We need to refer to Him and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Here's how we see things, as we see this slide. We grow up and we know who God the Father is, because biblically speaking, we hear in the Old Testament, in the wilderness with Moses for 40 years, we hear that God, we never see His face, so we know Him as a cloud. That's a fair statement. So we put God on a cloud. Then we personify Him and put Him into a body. Well, He's all powerful. Let's put muscles on Him. We've never seen His face, but He's probably somebody who has wisdom. Because Proverbs says stuff. We don't know how He is. He might be a celestial being for all we know. An invisible aspect of Him. And then, of course, we see Jesus, and we see this next slide. We see Jesus. We know Him in a physical manner. And we've already discussed it. Jesus and God are the same person, or the same substance. We've gotten that. But where do we put the Holy Spirit here? This is where the difficulty comes in. What we do is we take that lightning bolt and say, that's the Holy Spirit. It's a power of God. Say something to the effect, Lord God, God the Father, would you send me that lightning bolt? It sounds more like this. Lord God, I'm having some difficulty. Will you send the power of the Holy Spirit? Is it a power or is it a He? It's a difficult aspect of things, right? Difficult to grasp this. It's very difficult to grasp. Next. As we see this next slide, we have it's hard to depict anything on Google. I mean, you can't really grasp much of anything. But we have God the Father, God the Son, and right above that is a dove. That would be represent, in our mindset, if we could even grasp anything. You see John the Baptist, like a dove above Jesus. They talk about the Holy Spirit hovering over Jesus. The best we got is a dove. Now, as a person, a dove, well, you gotta take it and you can personify a dove as much as you want to do it. But when we say it's a He, not an it, it's very imperative, I think. And when we address God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He has been given to us today. Now we could say, well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God. Picture that's depicted up there, on the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit is with you and us here today. What are the implications of this? What are the importance of this? Of course, there's many things. He's here with us. And I think we need to address him in a manner that is proper manner. I am not one who's to say, hey, look, 100% sure, I'm the man, I know everything. I'm the same boat. All I'm saying is that right here is the only place where Jesus is. I also see in Acts chapter 2 that in the latter days, in the last, there's going to be a very strong filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying we need to start addressing him. He's already here, and he's moving in many different ways. The work of the Holy Spirit. The third thing we talked about, right? We talk about the Holy Spirit is God. We talk about the Holy Spirit is He, not in it. The work of the Holy Spirit. Now we see one or two things in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, but there's several things that we look at when we look at the work of the Holy Spirit. What does He do for us today? Much again, controversy. We have 22,000 different denominations under Christianity. We're all starting a wedge with each other. Different ways. Now, I know I'm going to be saved. There's no question in my mind. But you sent the Holy Spirit here. I want to know who He is. I want to know Him today. And I believe He's working in every single one of us. We don't even know. Couple of things that He does and several other things. That He convicts. That He teaches and guides and intercedes and sanctifies and witnesses and fills and baptizes and generates all kinds of stuff. He enables you, whether you know it or not. Sometimes you think it's my power that I'm doing this. But He's enabling you to go out and to talk to people, to be His witness. He comforts, He helps, He's an advocate. That first one there, He convicts. He convicts people to personal sin. John chapter 16:8-11. When He says He intercedes, is it one of those more difficult ones? And one of the powerful, this is a whole sermon within itself. But the Holy Spirit will intercede upon your behalf. He'll intercede upon your behalf, like a lawyer. Some stuff a lawyer will say, and I have no idea what they're saying. How am I supposed to understand? I object, sustain. I'm like, well, I kind of know what that means. But what do you mean, leading the witness, Your Honor? I object, leading the witness. I object, badgering the witness. I don't know what that means. I'm not a lawyer. Can somebody stand on my behalf? Lawyer, that's an advocate. He stands on your behalf. The Holy Spirit stands on your behalf. And as He stands on your behalf, have you here in Romans chapter 6? What He's saying is, this is the way you ought to pray. It's powerful. Read Romans 8:26. He says, we don't even know how we ought to pray. You don't? I've been praying my whole life, Pastor. He's saying, we don't even know how we ought to pray. For the Holy Spirit will intercede upon your behalf, groaning too deep. Understand. It's not that easy now, is it? It gets difficult. We say, I got it all down. I understand Christianity. I figured this all out. Read 8:26. How does the Holy Spirit intercede upon my behalf? I can't even do it. I can understand. Different things. He regenerates, there it says, after baptizes, John 3:6. John chapter 3, verse 6 says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. He regenerates. He's the one that you see in John chapter 3, where He talks about being born again. I was born again because He. It's powerful. I think it's something that we need to address. All need to know. We all know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. No question about that. I'm not trying to confuse you any more than we already are, but it shouldn't be that confusing. Keep asking Him to enable you. Help me. No, Pastor, we can't help you. It's you. Can I ask you, Holy Spirit, can you help me? Can I ask for the lightning bolt? He's already in you. You must dig deep down within you. Every single one of you, accept His right. And say, directed by His name, Holy Spirit, may I speak to you? I have a question. Can you enable me? Can you help me? Or give me the sense of peace that surpasses all of you. I bet He will. But But it takes a lot of time. I heard a quote one time. I heard many quotes in this story. If you want to get closer to God, you must serve Him. If you want to get closer to God, you must serve Him. As much as if you want to get closer to God, get closer to God. Serving Him is not a bad thing. But getting close to God means you have to spend quality time with Him. Presence. Be still. Psalms 46. Know that He is good. Be still. Nothing wrong with serving God, helping people, really. But if you want to get close to God, if you want to speak to the Holy Spirit within you, that's fine. I can't do it. I can't fill the water. I can't fill your cup. Cannot. The word advocate here is quite interesting. It means basically like you hear a lawyer called to one side as an aide. But let me read this verse as you could turn this John chapter 15. This is where the contradiction goes. The next chapters, we're actually doing chapter 14 and 15. But here in 15 verse 26, get a little glimpse of the Holy Spirit. Some verses use the helper. I'm going to use the helper in this book. John chapter 15 verse 26 says, when the helper or the comforter comes, or the advocate, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify that. Here's the question. Here's the thing that we get. When we hear the comforter, when we hear the helper, I could tell you as you read those things, can you pull back one slide with the slides? As we look here, we could say, well, you know what? I like the Holy Spirit. I like Him. We look at that and says, you know what? I'm going through difficult times. Would you comfort me? But that's not what He's saying here. He's saying, it's not that I don't want to help you. He's saying, I'm going to help you bring everybody's eyes back to me. That's what I want to help you. I'm going to comfort you and enable you to bring it back to Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit's job is to testify who Jesus is. You see, we live in a world where it's very self-absorbed and self-centered. Amen? So we're thinking, the helper's coming to help me. He's going to comfort me through my difficult time. He will. But in this passage, what He's saying is, I'm going to help you speak Jesus' name, died on the cross. That's what He's helping you. That's one of His great works, to be a witness for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen? It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the center of it all. We're about to sing this song as we come into the altar call. Jesus is the center of it all. The Holy Spirit will not contradict Jesus Christ, His word. Which leads into the next fourth point that I just said. You will not contradict Jesus. So the Holy Spirit shouldn't put a wedge. The only person putting a wedge in there is man. Have I done that? Absolutely. Have I been guilty standing up here? I can honestly say, and I'm very convicted about this, I myself put a wedge upon people, upon myself, upon God's people. My whole job as a senior pastor is to grab, get His flock, and shepherd them. It's His flock. You're His flock. All I'm doing is like a substitute teacher coming in. That's my job. Shepherd you. Where's the shepherd? It's a powerful thing. Have I done wrong any time? Has He convicted me of anything? The Holy Spirit's job is to move it back. Jesus. So of the 22,000 different denominations fighting, that's a man's name. The Holy Spirit doing it all, that's a man's name. A man. You. And each and every single one of us. I like what Pastor G always says, Pastor Rick, let's stick to it. That's what he's saying. It all brings back Jesus. It all brings back who he is. God the Father, God the Son. That's the truth. Not going to come back there, but that's who he is. Challenge you enough to speak to him in such dear ways. To speak to him. Father, Son, God. Father, teach me to be something. We will comfort you. We will help you in other verses. But this verse is saying, Jesus. You can bring it back to Jesus. All that comfort, the help, and everything else. Huh. Seek me first his kingdom and his righteousness. Added it. There's something to be said about that. He knows you have problems. You have concerns. He knows you have hurts and pain, worriedness. He knows it. He's saying, would you look at me? I'm within you. I can do this. I can take care of you. I'm trying to think of the things he can't do, he'll do it. Take the dry bones that have been people who've been dead for 1,000 years. I guarantee you, you can put flesh on them, as he says in Ezekiel, and give them life. Worried about your own problem? He's saying, would you? He's asking, would you? That's all he's testing you. Would you look at him? Every day. Every second of your life. Let's take a few minutes and let's all stand and rise. This is in reverence to him. He's with me. Let us pray. And don't worry if I don't say anything. Being still and knowing he's God. Praying doesn't have to have music or noise or me speaking. Praying is just what's within you. Speaking to the Holy Spirit who's within you. God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We ask that you teach us. We ask that you convict us even of our misunderstandings or even our sins of yesterday. We ask that you guide us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you intercede upon our ways. Cleanse us, would you? Continually cleanse us. That is to sanctify us. May you bear witness what you've done on the cross for us. Fill us, baptize us, regenerate us in many ways. Enable us, comfort us, help us be our advocate. We know first and foremost the first step. Keeps coming back to you, Jesus. For Jesus, you are the new.
Jesus at Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. Beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Center of your church.